Hi, friends. A quick reminder that this podcast, Sidecar with Jen Coleslaw, is currently being pushed out on two feeds. If you're listening to this on the Two Chocolate Cakes feed, please be reminded that by the end of June, fingers crossed, Sidecar will only be pushed out on the Sidecar Podcast with Jen Coleslaw feed. So please go find that on your app and follow it so that you don't miss any new episodes. This will allow me to push out new Two Chocolate Cakes episodes on the Two Chocolate Cakes feed. Message me on Twitter at Jen Coleslaw or by email at twochocolatecakes@gmail.com if you are having trouble finding the Sidecar Podcast with Jen Coleslaw feed in your podcast app. Thanks for your support. Hi, and welcome to the Cake Adjacent Podcast, a once-a-week-ish update on all things food, family, community, gardening, whatever. We call it Sidecar if it has to do with the rituals around food and holidays, making food or taking it places, or remembering what we were eating during important times in our lives. We'll talk about it here. I am your host and bestie, Jen Coleslaw, coming to you from the soulless suburbs of Northern Virginia. And I am recording this on Sunday evening. It's kind of late, and the window is open. And so if you hear some funny noises, those are all of the tree frogs outside. I'll be quiet for a minute. You see if you can hear them. Okay. So hello, everyone. Happy Father's Day to those who celebrate. Yesterday, I was talking to someone who I don't know terribly well, but I am certainly friends and friendly with. And let me preface this story with a few facts. Most folks here in Northern Virginia don't know me all that well, despite me being pretty open about the person that I am and the people that I love and my friends, my life, my work, my podcast, all my side hustles. Like, I'm an open book, but some folks just really don't pay attention or they aren't interested, and that's fine. Not everybody needs to know my life story, even if I tell it all the time. I don't take offense by that. Anyway, we were talking about a project that I'm working on that she needed to contribute to, and we got on the subject of families. She was lamenting that the father of her sons is not very involved in her young boys' lives for a number of reasons. And that she was reminded of this when she was driving to work and she was listening to a sermon on the radio about how boys absolutely need their fathers to teach them to be men or something along those lines. And I've heard this before, and I hear it a lot, not really from people I hang around with, but certainly from the church crowd, especially the evangelical community. The problem with the youth today is that fathers aren't involved in their sons' lives, which honestly I think is a pretty big cop-out on a number of levels, but that's not really what I want to talk about today. I let this person tell me why her husband wasn't involved or affectionate with her sons and how her mom has picked up the slack and how her mom picking up the slack has been really important and how grateful she is for that help. And the time we had to wrap up the conversation was drawing to a close, and I said, listen, I'm not a parent, but I was a kid who was often not cared for or loved on when I was growing up by my traditional family because of situations that were out of my control. And I know that a lot of people think that fathers are the be-all, end-all of a son's life, but kids need great role models, full stop. They need respect and affection, and it doesn't matter really who that comes from. That is how they become men. That is how we become human beings that put positive out in the world. by having people in our lives when we are growing up who see our value, who nurture our intellect and our kindness and whatever our special magic powers are. And it doesn't always have to be a parent. Sometimes it isn't a parent. Sometimes it can't be a parent. She kind of nodded and shrugged as we started to go our separate ways for the rest of the day. And as she walked away, she said, "Yeah, but it really needs to come from their father." And I've been thinking about that all the rest of the day and today, because not everyone is a good parent. Not everyone should be a parent. Some parents, some fathers, are absolutely shitty fathers who do more harm than good. And kids will own that. They will think it is somehow their fault that their father is no good at being a dad. Some kid will grow up thinking he wasn't good enough to love. And guess what kind of adult that kid will grow up to be? An adult who doesn't know how to show affection or love or respect. But when you have other people in that child's life, whether it's a family member like an aunt or an uncle or a parent's best friend or an older sibling or a teacher, or just about anyone who takes an interest in that kid's life, every single person who does that, who gets involved, changes that child, hopefully for the better. As you know, I was a kid who had all kinds of adults in my life who looked after me, who looked out for me, who took care of me until I could take care of myself. And I absolutely 150% credit that attention and affection for the person that I am today. A person who looks after, looks out for, and care for others. Someone who leads with empathy, but also someone who's a flawed human being and who sometimes comes up short when I wish I did better by other people and myself. But my God, what kind of person would I have been if I only had my parents as role models? I honestly don't think I'd be alive today, and if I was, I'd be a gigantic narcissistic asshole. And that is not me being dramatic. That is me being painfully truthful. So when I hear that people believe that they are somehow less than if we don't have a great parental relationship, it makes me sad and a little angry, because there are plenty of folks out there in the world who would love to teach your kiddos how to sew or knit or bake cookies, or who would absolutely take your kid with their kids to the baseball game, or who would hire your kid to water the plants and in the process instill in them a lifelong love of gardens and growing things. But I don't know. Maybe it's too scary in this world now to trust your kid to someone who isn't their parent, but it seems to me scarier to trust their development to someone who never actually grew into an adult with the ability to share feelings and show affection. Maybe we no longer have villages where you can outsource some of the filling of the gaps of learning and development of your kids to your friends and neighbors and more distant relatives. But here's what I do know. You cannot expect you and how you would do things from other people, like your spouse or the father of your children, or in my case, my mother, because people are imperfect beings. And speaking of mothers, another conversation with a friend had me thinking kind of deeply today about why we continue to put ourselves out for people who either don't care or don't want our help. And I think the short answer is that we don't want to have to live with ourselves if we do nothing. If we don't do enough, even if that person is awful, is cruel, is chock full of madness and spiders, we keep putting ourselves out there in one way or another, calling, checking in, sending care packages, picking out peaches, little cards and thoughtful gifts, loading up the digital frame with pictures as a surprise, whatever it is. No matter how many weeks go by with my mother ghosting me for whatever reason, I still went to the farmer's market today, and when picking up tomatoes and peaches for Catherine to take home when she goes back to Connecticut tomorrow, I threw in extra for her to give to Mom, because I know how much Mom loves good peaches, and good peaches won't show up in Connecticut for at least another month. I even tried to figure out how to get her some strawberries. Even though there are strawberries in Connecticut, I don't know if she got herself any. I looked for kettle corn, too. My mother loves kettle corn. But
I don't know that one.
Alexa, be quiet. I honestly don't know what she was talking about. The kettle corn folks were not there, so I couldn't send any up. And so even though my mother does not cherish me or Catherine or treat us with respect or affection, I'm still constantly trying to figure out ways to make her life easier or happier or fuller or richer. Because I guess no matter how awful she becomes, I still don't want to be someone who did nothing, because when she's gone, I'll still be here and I'll still be living with that guilt that I didn't do enough. And I'm not willing to live with that. Do I try to set up boundaries for myself? Absolutely. But I play hopscotch with them on the daily, probably to my detriment. But to bring this all round full circle, I can tell you that practicing this grace with my mother when she doesn't care for anyone but herself is not a skill I learned from my mother. It is something that was taught to me by the many other adults in my life who took the time and the energy and the effort and the love into giving me the things that were missing from my home life. And you know what? It is never too late to have some of those relationships with people who are not your family. And it absolutely isn't too late to be some kid's positive role model. I truly hope I haven't made anyone sad about Father's Day or Mother's Day belatedly because I trash-talked parents. We're all flawed creatures, despite what Instagram reels and heartfelt Facebook posts say, and it is absolutely okay to realize that there are some things we're not good at, and that includes relationships. Okay, so that's my long-winded way of saying that you can find your family outside your Ancestry.com tree, and if you're a parent and you need a goofy auntie, I'm your Huckleberry. I abso-fucking-lutely love children's birthday parties, as long as there's cake. Okay, so in other news, my sister Catherine was visiting this week, and the whole family came over on Thursday, and they got to meet Rufus Poofus, Big Red Doofus, and he displayed some interesting new behavior that we hadn't seen before, and that is picnic table surfing. Oddly, he is ambivalent about his own dinner, but that berserker will house anything that is on the table outside, and a partial list of what he went for but didn't get, an entire wheel of brie, a plate of hamburgers, hot dogs, cheddar wurst, a bag of hamburger buns, a bag of hot dog buns, a container of bacon horseradish dip, a bowl of homemade coleslaw, an entire coconut cake made from scratch by Catherine. And it was so delicious. Oh my God, her coconut cake is so good. It had a layer of lime curd in it. Oh, yum. And I'm pretty sure he licked everything on my and Ben's plates, though. But here's the interesting thing. So I've talked about how hard he is to walk because he goes after everybody on the street, whether it's a child or another dog or an adult. And Ben thinks he just wants to play, but I am not convinced. And he's too much for me. I can't walk him. But the most interesting thing was that he welcomed everyone who came into the backyard. So we have a big fenced backyard, and I was sitting in the backyard, and everybody came into the backyard sort of separately at the gate, and he would run up to greet them, and there was no barking, no aggressive behavior. There was just tail wagging and happiness. And he had not met anybody before. He hadn't met Catherine or Dennis or Alex or Henry before. And he wasn't resource guarding. He wasn't being defensive. He wasn't guarding us or anything. So clearly it is just a leash reactivity that we have to work on. Although he still likes to do the jumping and the humping. But he's still kind of a baby. So, you know. Anyway, so that's the Rufus update. At the farmer's market, pretty much everything is at the farmer's market except for black raspberries, plums, nectarines, and of course apples and pears, which we won't see for at least another 2 months. Strawberries are pretty well done, and the ones that are available are now $8 a quart, so I'm glad I bought mine early and froze them. The peaches are small, and the skins are kind of tough, and I'm wondering if it's because it's been so dry. Normally, I'm not bothered at all by peach skin, but I'm definitely peeling the skin off these peaches before eating them, because the skin is thick and bitter. And when I put up peaches, either as jam, or if I have them, or if I chunk them so they can go in like peach pie, I always parboil them real quick and then pull the skin off. But for straight eating, I usually just chomp right in. Anyway, bitter and tough, like many of my relatives. We've been getting some tomatoes out of our own garden, and so far 4 pickling cukes, which were a little misshapen, but still. There are some hot peppers forming, but they're still green. Here's the wacky thing about the garden. Plants that are usually pest-free, basil and marigolds, are being munched to their deaths by something, and I don't know what. I even resorted to spraying some insecticidal soap to no avail, and I never use anything like that in the garden. This may be the first year I've ever had such terrible luck with basil. I have no idea what is eating it. And what eats marigolds? I mean, the whole point of planting marigolds is that they're a natural insect repellent. My parsley and dill have been all eaten to the ground, but that was probably by caterpillars that will turn into butterflies, so I'm fine with that. As I mentioned at the top of the podcast, I can hear all the tiny tree frogs at night, but I haven't seen any hanging around the plants or by the pool, but I know they're out there. The yellow butterfly bushes that Ben found for me in Richmond are getting ready to bloom probably in the next week or so, and I can't wait because they're going to be so pretty. And finally, the wildflower and clover seed that we planted to cover the big dig trench are 3 inches and a half an inch tall, respectively. And so that's exciting. And that is the update from the garden. How about the food holidays for the week? So I know it's late, but today, Sunday, is sushi day. Yuck. Cherry tart day. Yum. National picnic day. Yay. National panic day. Eh. International panic day. Eh. Got to cover all the panic bases, I guess. And turkey lover's day, which I will again voice my objection in this hemisphere for roasting a turkey in the middle of June. Even though I love turkey. And I mean, I guess you could get like a turkey breast and you could smoke it outside, but honestly, there's nothing better than a turkey in the oven, but not in the middle of June. Anyway, Monday is National Dry Martini Day, and I actually prefer, if I'm going to have a martini, it be a dirty martini. And I just bought some olives today thinking, I might like to have a martini someday. Or I might just eat a bunch of olives out of the jar with a spoon. I like olives. It's also Take Your Cat to Work Day, which is not really a great idea. Plus, it's Sunday. Although I do love to go to stores where they have shop cats. Like, that's the best. Like, bookstores or a farm store or whatever. Like, if there's a cat at a store, you can pretty much count on me to, like, spend all my money there. And to pet the cat incessantly. And finally, and most importantly, it is Juneteenth tomorrow. June 19th, 1865 is the date that the Union Army made it to Galveston Bay in Texas, some 901 days after the Emancipation Proclamation, and freed about 250,000 enslaved persons, the last people still suffering under the oppression of slavery after the end of the Civil War. It is a celebration of freedom and of African-American history and culture, and for many of us who are not part of that culture, it's an excellent opportunity for us to reflect on ways that we can ensure that the opportunities for leadership that we've been given in our work, in our communities, and on social media and other places where we take up space, that we make space available and promote for our colleagues of color. Now, on Tuesday, unsurprisingly, it's Vanilla Milkshake Day. Of course it is. I do love vanilla milkshakes. That just seems a weird little cognitive dissonance that it's right after Juneteenth, but whatever. Wednesday, the 21st, is Peaches and Creams Day. Just cream, not creams. Although creams would be fine. And I've already talked about peaches, but did you know it's also National Cookie Dough Day? And I am still a member of the Dope of the Month Club. So every month I get 2 types of cookie dough, which has been pasteurized or it's made without eggs so that you can either make cookies with the dough It comes frozen. Or you can literally eat it with a spoon like ice cream. I do not do that because that is just beyond the pale, but it is totally safe to do that. This month's flavors, which came, I think, on Friday, were peanut butter and pretzel crunch, which I think I'm going to like. I think that's a limited edition flavor and it's new. And a cold brew crew, which I've had before and it's very good. It's their butter cookie base with cold brew, espresso beans, and chocolate chips mixed in. But my favorite flavors are peanut butter kiss, which is peanut butter cookie base with tiny milk chocolate morsels, and fairy dust, which is their butter cookie base with sprinkles. Very simple. It's also National Smoothie Day, and I make very good smoothies. And I gotta say that the grocery stores are really upping their frozen fruit game. A few weeks ago, I got some dragon fruit chunks, and I'm really looking forward to making that into a smoothie. As you know, I sometimes struggle with eating decent meals, but especially when it's hot out, I like to make a yogurt smoothie. Low-fat vanilla or plain yogurt, a banana, some frozen fruit, usually pineapple or mango or cherries or strawberries or peaches, basically whatever I have in the house, and any kind of fresh fruit that I might have, like blueberries or raspberries or strawberries or peaches. A scoop of powdered whey protein powder, which I usually get at Trader Joe's, and a tablespoon of psyllium husk, all go into the blender. And then if it ends up being too thick, so it's really hard to drink, I will add a cup or two of either water or a can of pineapple or apple juice, whatever I have in the house, to make it drinkable. And if I leave out the psyllium, then I can make a sort of a double batch and I can drink half and put half in a Nalgene bottle and put it in the fridge. And then I can drink it tomorrow morning for breakfast, which is sometimes helpful because I'm a little lazy about breakfast and having it ready made. I'm more apt to go ahead and at least drink half of it. It's a good way to start the day. Good stuff. Thursday, June 22nd, is a good day because it is National Chocolate Eclair Day. And a pro tip, most grocery stores in the freezer dessert section have these little tubs of mini eclairs. There's like 30 of them in a tub. Go get some. They're so good. You can eat them frozen, like little tiny frozen treats, or you can thaw them out and eat them. But they are a delicious little eclair. And eclairs are not that hard to make. Although I feel like they're easier to make in the cooler weather. It's also Onion Rings Day, and here's where I am a complex person. I do not love onions. I really don't love raw onions at all, but I love onion rings so much. I wonder how hard they are to make at home. We have one of those air fryers. The trick, though, is that they have to be super crispy, because if they're soft, I'm not interested. And finally, it's Limoncello Day, and I think that we should try to make our own this year. Who's with me? Who's made it before? It doesn't look like it's very hard. Lots of people make it, so it can't possibly be hard if so many people have figured it out. Friday, June 23rd, is Pecan Sandy Day, which is one of my favorite cookies. A Pecan Sandy is a shortbread cookie which is made with pecans, and I actually love the Keebler Pecan Sandies, which were considered a very, very highbrow cookie treat in my house growing up. I mean, really, any packaged cookie was a big deal in our house, but Pecan Sandies were the family favorite. Which brings us to Saturday, June 24th, which is National Pralines Day, or pralines. I actually make really great ones, regardless of how you say it, but I do not make them in the summer because humidity kills. They are a fall and winter treat in my book, but they're really easy to make. I think the hardest part is just making sure that you get really good pecans or pecans. And usually I like to get them from church fundraisers. Ben's family is almost always doing a pecan church fundraiser, and I buy 5 pounds of them. And then I usually make them into pralines. Sunday, the 25th, is Goat Cheese Day, and I struggle with goat cheese. I want to love goat cheese, but I don't always love goat cheese. I love goats, though, and I love people who have goats, and I often love things that have a little goat cheese in them. It's also Catfish Day, which is something that probably should never be stuffed with goat cheese. And it's National Strawberry Parfait Day, which honestly, you could probably figure out how to use a little goat cheese layered with strawberries and maybe some spice nuts or something in an interesting stylized parfait. And then, to make sure you're ready for Monday, the 26th of June, it is Chocolate Pudding Day. Okay, that's into food holidays. I hope that you have a very good week ahead, and that if you need rain, you get rain. If you need a break from wildflower fire smoke, that you get a lovely wind that blows it out for you, and that if you need for the tornadoes to stop, they do, and that your local government and your legislators everywhere start believing that the effects of climate change are real. But until then, I'm going to leave you with these three thoughts. If you buy an air purifier, make sure you get one that has filters that are both available and affordable. 2, it is absolutely flea and tick season for your pets in most of the United States, so make sure your pet is on a preventative. And 3, I have totally forgotten what the third one was, but you can bet it was either pithy or snarky. I'll see you next week.